Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Wednesday night. It is 7 o'clock on the East Coast. And this is Matt Chett. We are back after a brief hiatus. And it is most wrestling fans' favorite week of the year. It is WrestleMania week. This Sunday, of course, is the showcase of the Immortals, WrestleMania 34, live in New Orleans, Louisiana. Special 7 o'clock start time, with the kickoff show starting at 5 o'clock, which means we are just under 96 hours away. That's kind of hard to believe, but this year's WrestleMania, to me, looks like it could be the best WrestleMania in probably since WrestleMania 30, the last time WrestleMania was in New Orleans. And the big question is, will The Undertaker answer the challenge of John Cena and show up in New Orleans? Personally, I think he will. I hope he does. And with Kid Rock being in the arena, I'm pretty sure if The Undertaker does show up, it will be the American Badass. And that is a match that, if it happens, that will be the match that I will be most looking forward to. Although I do not think it will be the best match of the night, I think that match will either, that honor will go to one of two matches. Either the triple threat match for the Intercontinental Championship between Finn Balor, The Miz, and the Architect Seth Rollins, or the King Slayer, as he likes to be called these days, or it will be a show that is actually on the kickoff show, which honestly I can't believe this match is on the kickoff show, even though I can understand why it is, which is the tournament finals to crown a new cruiserweight champion between Mustafa Ali and Cedric Alexander. That match, to me, has the potential to be Ricky the Dragon Steamboat versus Macho Man Randy Savage from WrestleMania 3 all over again. It's not even on the it's not one of the top billed matches, even though Macho Man Randy Savage versus Ricky Steamboat was for the Intercontinental Championship. It's not the most talked about match. Heck, like I said, Cedric Alexander versus Mustafa Ali isn't even on the main card of WrestleMania. It's on the pre-show. But I have a feeling that that match could be talked about for years and decades to come. Right now, I'm going to welcome a guest, because I want to get her opinion on some of the matches for WrestleMania and also for take over, which I know she's not. She doesn't watch NXT like I do or like some people do, but Miss Callie, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Ace. Glad to be on. And as far as NXT goes, yeah, it's called Never Watch It. And it's not because I don't appreciate what they do. I just currently do not have the time to really watch much of anything.
Which is understandable.
Yeah.
You, like myself, are a very busy person.
Yeah, we'll go with that. But to your point, let's see, WrestleMania. I'm actually, and you know me, I am the world's harshest critic when it comes to women. I really am. Because there are, just like in everything else, there are people that go out there and they put it all on the line. They bust their ass day in, day out. And then there's the rest of them. I can honestly tell you, I am beyond looking forward to watching the SmackDown Women's Title match, Charlotte Flair versus Asuka.
That is a match that I am definitely looking forward to. I personally believe that the Empress will defeat the Queen and remain undefeated.
I don't really have a prediction for that match because, to me, that's a win-win for the fans. It doesn't matter who wins and who loses that match. That match is just going to be outstanding. That is my personal opinion.
Oh, absolutely.
You've got Asuka, who is undefeated since she's been with the company. She never lost a match in NXT. Matter of fact, the only reason she no longer had the NXT women's title was due to injury. So, I mean, it's not like she ever lost it. And she's remained undefeated even on the main roster. So, I mean, she's phenomenal to watch. I've had the opportunity to watch some of her matches, and she is phenomenal. Then you've got Charlotte Flair, and she is athletic. She has her daddy's mind for the business, and I find her incredibly talented to watch. So by no means do I think there's no way that if that's not match of the night, that's going to be like probably, my opinion, that's probably going to be, if it's not match of the night, it's going to be tied with or just behind match of the night. I think they've ruined the United States title match.
I have to agree. They've put too many people in that match.
They could have left that match Randy Orton and Bobby Roode, and it would have been spectacular. Then they put Mahal in it, which automatically, for me, ruined the match. And
I think, personally, and this is just my opinion, I do think that the addition of Mahal ruined the match.
Mm-hmm.
I think the addition of Rusev helped bring it back a little bit.
Well, hopefully that two knock the crap out of each other on the outside, and the match will, on the inside, will predominantly be Rude and Orton, therefore saving the match to a degree.
I wouldn't mind that. However, I personally, as much as it shocks me to say this myself, I personally would not mind Rusev winning, because he is so over with the crowd that they honestly, I don't know how they're going to keep him as a babyface for much longer. Or keep him
you
as a heel. I don't know how they're going to keep him as a heel for much longer. I think eventually he's going to have to turn him.
Well, no. Technically, nobody ever has to turn. It's a matter of, do you give the crowd what they want, or do you sit there and keep? Because truth be told, I think Rusev makes a really good heel. And I'm afraid if they try to turn, I'm really afraid with Rusev, if they make him a face, he's going to turn into a joke. That is my fear with that one. But in all honesty, and this is nothing against Rusev, because I think he has, I think as far as his skill set goes, he's talented. He knows how to get the reaction he wants from the crowd. But the downside right now is, I'm not a big fan of titles changing hands frequently. Anybody that knows me knows that. To me, when you start changing the title every month or every couple of months, it loses something. And as much as I think Rusev deserves to be in a title picture, I think that him winning at WrestleMania would, in all honesty at this point, be kind of a mistake. Like I said, everybody that knows me knows I do not like titles changing hands constantly. If you have to take the title off somebody, you just put one on because of injury or because of a multitude of other reasons that you need to get a title off of somebody quickly and put it on someone else. Not a fan of it, but there's times that it really does call for it. But when you've got healthy competitors, and just looking at who the four guys in this match are, I don't think it needs to change hands. But, you know, I don't write for the company. That's just my opinion. And everybody knows if I worked for the company, there would be a few things that were a lot different.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm the same way. There would be a lot of things different. So let's talk about the one match that nobody wants to see.
The SmackDown tag title match?
Okay, apparently there's more than one match you don't want to see. But I'm talking about the one that nobody wants to see. The Universal Championship.
Now, you know
Brock
what?
Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns.
You know what? While I am not a huge fan of either competitor, I'm going to throw this out there. When they faced each other a couple years ago at Mania, and Seth Rollins cashed in and won, at that time, the WWE Championship, Lesnar and Reigns were having a good match. And for me to say Lesnar's having a good wrestling match takes a lot. I am not a Lesnar fan. I'm also not a huge Roman Reigns fan. However, those two together actually had a decent match. And truth be told, popular, unpopular, agree with, disagree with, I don't give two craps. Because it's my opinion. To an extent, and I am placing heavy emphasis on to an extent, I don't give two craps who they put that title on to take off Lesnar. While I get they feel he's still a draw, I don't see it, but I don't see their books either. So how can you be a draw when you're there 15 shows a year, maybe? And that's stretching it a lot.
I believe the number is actually 13. But I'm not 100%
And I still think to an extent that might be a stretch. Paul Heyman may be there 13 times a year. But you take what is supposed to be the main title in the company, or at least the flag, at least the main title for their, what they're calling their flagship show, and people make memes going into certain events saying, oh, I forgot what that title looked like. Because that's how infrequently you see that champion. Now, you know, the whole titles have to be defended every 30-day rule apparently has went out the window somewhere, because we all know, I've added it up before, Lesnar has not defended the title every 30 days. And I think that's bullcrap. I think it's bullcrap that he gets away with doing whatever he wants, not showing up as long as he wants, only having to be there X number of days a year. And like I said, I don't care if he shows up at every single Monday Night Raw. I don't care if he's at every single pay-per-view. But I, truth be told, I think he needs to be there at least once or twice a month, whether it be like one Raw, one pay-per-view, two Raws, or something of that extent. In my mind, how it should be. And anybody be hard pressed to change my mind on that opinion.
And believe me, in this case, that is not something I would want to change your mind on, because personally, I agree. They need to have it on somebody. Even, truth be told, even when it's on a quote unquote full time competitor, I don't think those titles are defended every 30 days.
No, but you got a better chance of it happening because you usually have at least one pay-per-view every 30 days per brand. I'd say I think it's relatively close. I think those are defended at least every 4 to 5 weeks. Or I'd go out as far as even to say 6. But you're a lot closer to that every 30 day thing with your full time competitors than you are with Brock Lesnar.
Oh, absolutely.
Even the last time, and I shame on me for using this reference, but even the last time Undertaker held a title and he was quote-unquote part-time, he was more visible than Lesnar. And this
Absolutely.
Is a man who, this is a man who, in my opinion, earned the right to only show up a few times a year. But when he held a title in that company, even after he was at the point of he's only there for a few months out of a year, he showed up. He made his presence known at all times. You didn't go 2 and 3 months without seeing a champion.
And at that time, he had been with the company around the same amount of time that Brock Lesnar has been to this point.
But now, are we counting how long he was there the first time plus the time that he was gone from the company, or are we counting
That's a good question. I think we do need to separate those because
You can separate him because he was gone from WWE for a number of years.
Yes, he was.
So if you subtract that time out, Lesnar hasn't been there nearly as long as Taker when Taker was finally considered what you would call part time.
No, you're right. He's probably been there a total of 10 years now, and at that time, Undertaker had been there for 15 years, approximately. Actually, 17 years.
Yes, I mean, it just, the whole Lesnar situation kind of burns me, but besides that, like him or don't like him, I think Reigns will make a decent champion if that's the direction they choose to go.
I do too.
I also believe that by putting the title on Roman Reigns, you open the door for a lot of guys that probably can have good matches with Reigns as opposed to, or even at least have plausible scenarios where a fan can look at this match and say, I could see this guy, I could see the possibility of this person winning against Roman Reigns, as opposed to, okay, we put Seth Rollins against Brock Lesnar. I'm sorry, I like Rollins. I really do. I think he's a fantastic athlete. He's a hell of a wrestler. But when you look at statistically, if you look at things in a realistic view, could you see Seth Rollins defeating Brock Lesnar?
Not on
could
his
you
best
see,
day.
Could you see a Finn Balor defeating Brock Lesnar? Could you see a
now
Shinsuke Nakamura?
That one depends.
Realistically, though.
Finn, or are we talking the demon?
Truth be told, either. I mean, realistically, do not get me wrong. The demon thing is, wow. I'm going to leave it at wow.
Now, I will say this. I have a lot of respect for Finn Balor. I have a lot of respect for 90% of the guys on the roster. But 90% of those guys have no chance of beating Brock Lesnar. Realistically.
I would say the last person realistically, since Roman Reigns, that I have seen them put in the ring with Lesnar, that you can look at and say, I could seriously see this person gaining a victory, was Braun Strowman.
I was about to say, I'm pretty sure it's the same person I would say, and it would be Braun Strowman. Before that, it would be John Cena.
And sadly, you run into the same problem with Strowman that you're currently running into with Lesnar. It's very hard to find somebody that you could put in there in a match that you could really sit down and look at it and say, I think this person actually could stand a chance of winning this match, looking at it from a fan's perspective.
Absolutely. Now, let's go back and talk about the Intercontinental Championship match. Like I said, I believe it's one of the two matches that has the one of the few matches that has the potential to be an absolute show stealer.
I honestly think that match will be match of the night. And honest to God, considering the way these matches are laid out, like I said, aside from the SmackDown Women's title match, the only other match I could see coming close to match of the night besides that one would be the SmackDown title match.
Oh, yeah, that since I believe that should be the main event, not only because of the fact that the Royal Rumble winner is in that match, but because they are both full-time competitors.
And
that match definitely has the potential to be the match of the night.
I would put more credence on the because the Rumble winner is in it, as opposed to because they're both full-time. Because, like I said, there have been some quote-unquote part-time competitors that, while they do not carry a full-time schedule, they carry a little bit more than an average part. They carry right around an average part-time, if not a little more than a part-time schedule, when they're holding a title. And in that aspect, that's where I can say, you know, I won't throw in the caveat of because they're both full-time. Because there have been some relatively active part-time competitors that I would not be nearly as bent about them having a championship. Lesnar's really the only one that pisses me off with a championship. Just for the fact of how little he's there. But then again, like I said, you run into the same problem with both of them. Who can you put them against that physically can look like they could have a match with these guys and actually possibly come out on top? You're hard pressed to find it. But Nakamura Styles, that truly is a wrestling fan's dream match.
Absolutely. I started to watch their match from New Japan from January of 2016, and my timing was poor, and I could not stay awake to watch it. So I'll have to go back and find it and watch it.
Okay, here's my thing with that. You're looking at these guys are probably going to wrestle a bit of a different style here than they wrestled in Japan. Because you've got to wrestle to your audience. Japanese fans are a completely different breed of fan from here. Like, we all love wrestling. But when you watch a Japanese audience and what they react to as opposed to an American audience and what we react to, you see varying degrees and differences. So certain matches that people thought would be dream matches turned out to be not so much of a dream match when you saw them in the opposing context.
I will definitely agree with that.
So since we said matches that nobody has any interest to see, I like the Usos. I can stomach the New Day to a point. I think the addition of the Bludgeon Brothers, that killed that match for me. I like their look. I like what they're trying to do with those two. But I have really yet to see them as a tag team go out and actually have a match. I've seen them individually have matches, not with this new repackaging, but there and again, the way they have built those two, I can only see one team, unless, and I really don't know, can you end this kind of a match in a disqualification? Because I don't think you can.
No, you cannot.
So, realistically, there has to be a winner. So, really, I guess, unless you duct tape Harper and Rowan to the outside somewhere, pray to God somebody can get a quick enough pin and get the heck out of Dodge before those two get themselves undone, we're probably going to look at new tag team champions, and I can only really realistically see one team, and they're not even on the current main roster that physically
they
look like they stand
their
balls
debut yet.
Yeah, that could physically look like they stand a snowball's chance in hell of taking those titles from those two.
And of course, you're talking about War Machine.
That is exactly who I'm talking about.
And I have to agree with you. Those are the only two people on the roster that I think have any chance of beating the Bludgeon Brothers. And like I said, they haven't even made their NXT TV debut yet, so it's going to be a while.
Your only other hope and prayer of anybody that could take the titles from those two both reside on the opposing brand. And they're not even a tag team right now.
Braun Strowman and
Bray Wyatt.
And I'm not one to spread rumors on this show.
Then don't.
I will not then. I will tell you off the air.
I already know what you're going to say because you told me.
Did I?
Yes, but
anyway, let's talk about I believe it's probably the only title match we have not discussed. That being the Raw Women's Championship match.
Actually, there are three matches we haven't discussed, and that's one of them.
It's another match where, realistically, one person should win the match with relative ease.
Now, see, here's the thing with that one, though. And I truly believe that she should win the match. But, there and again, credit where credit's due, Bliss is smart. She's shown herself to be somewhat resourceful. And then there's always the champion's advantage of disqualification or count out.
And there's the fact that wherever Alexa Bliss goes, her new best friend Mickie James goes.
How much do you really trust that, though? They've turned on each other before.
Yeah, this is true, so that could be one where Mickie decides that she wants the title and doesn't want to face Nia Jax for it.
Because here's the other thing. You got to remember, Alexa Bliss at one point told Mickie James she was an old lady.
That sticks with people.
Huh?
That sticks with people.
Yes, it does.
I won't say I know from experience, but I'm fairly certain that kind of thing sticks with people because I know if somebody called me an old man, and I'm 6 months younger than Mickie James. If somebody
mm-hmm.
called me an old man, I would probably, that would probably stick with me for a long time. So what other matches have we not discussed? What other title matches
what
have
other
we
matches,
not discussed?
What other matches have we not really discussed? There is also the quandary of the Raw Tag Team titles.
Oh,
the
yes.
Bar versus Braun Strowman and his mystery partner, whomever that may be. Strowman really could annihilate the Bar by himself.
Easily.
Although those are two very strong individuals, I think if it was just them versus Strowman, they have a chance to walk out still tag team champions, even without the disqualification factor. Because you figure frequent tags. Obviously, you know, they know how to take a big man down. I mean, this is probably two of the strongest men on the roster in the Bar.
Oh, absolutely.
I know who I wish was facing them.
Pound for pound, I believe Cesaro is the strongest. But I have a few theories on who Strowman's partner will be. I won't divulge any of those.
Mm-hmm.
Because that would just be spreading rumors, and I don't want to do that.
Exactly.
But if any of the people that I believe are going to be his partner are his partner, the Bar's going to have a worse day than they already are going to have facing him 2-on-1.
Possibly.
Possibly.
And as much as I never thought I would say this, I really hope the Bar walks out still Raw Tag Team Champions. Nothing really against Strowman, but I really hope the Bar still walks out Tag Team Champions. And I honestly would like to see Anderson and Gallows get another shot at him. Now, on to the other match that you tried to bring up that I avoided talking about because I said I wanted to save it. Now we can discuss the Intercontinental title match. Undoubtedly, I think that will be match of the night, though. You've got three very athletic, charismatic, talented individuals. I can't believe I'm giving the Miz credit for anything, but he is. He's entertaining. He is charismatic. You look at Balor and Rollins, who are undoubtedly two of the brightest stars in that company. And beyond over with the crowd.
Especially Balor, despite what some people in WWE might think, or what one person who happens to own WWE might think. Hey, Vince, if you're listening, which I know you're not, Balor's over bigger than anybody.
But I truly think that will be the match of the night right there. I can't say that I will be disappointed. I would be disappointed to a degree if it's not, because there are a fair number of highly talented individuals that are in that company, and there are people there that just have the potential and the ability to just knock it out of the park. And it's WrestleMania, so therefore you can't discount that in any way, shape, or form.
Absolutely. I agree. That definitely... You know, I would say on... On a Raw... If this was a Raw exclusive pay-per-view, there is absolutely no doubt that that would be the match of the night. The only thing that causes a little bit of doubt in my mind is the fact that they have to compete with AJ Styles versus Shinsuke Nakamura. Those really are the only two matches I believe have a shot at being match of the night.
Well, and again, that's where you and I disagree. I think there are three matches that have great potential to be match of the night.
Well, we can't agree on everything, and we generally
we don't agree on most things. So, like
here's the ultimate question.
Okay.
In your opinion, which I believe I know the answer, will The Undertaker show up and answer the challenge of John Cena? Or have we seen The Undertaker wrestle his last match?
I truly, honestly believe we've seen him wrestle his last match.
You
and
know,
disheartening as disappointing as that may be to a lot of people, I really think we saw him wrestle his last match.
You know,
let's just here. You're gonna what?
I'm kind of caught in the middle. I believe you're right. Part of me hopes you're wrong.
Here's the thing. You're going to have people pinning their hopes going to WrestleMania to see and seeing The Undertaker one more time. If he shows up, how are you going to explain the he's probably never going to show up again to compete at WrestleMania? I won't say that at some point in time he won't make an appearance. We've seen numerous superstars over the years come back and make appearances. You could take it from that point because, you know, some people are going to buy tickets just at the hope of seeing Taker show up to answer Cena's challenge. And then again, you're also going to have the impending, if we don't do this and all these people have pinned their hopes on this and they've come to WrestleMania or they've purchased it or, you know, how is this going to affect network subscriptions if he doesn't show up? I think you've kind of painted yourself into a really tight box on that. I think if he chooses to come back and retire each persona, which he only really has two more, but to me that really, to an extent, really kind of cheapens the way WrestleMania ended last year. I mean, it was sad. It was hair raising. It was it gave people chills.
I was one of them.
But it meant something. it's very hard to evoke those emotions every time from a crowd. And I would hate to see him. He's already lost twice now at Mania. I would hate to see it go beyond that. Like, the streak being broken to begin with was enough of a shock to the system for everybody.
I will agree with that.
And then to see it happen a second time. I mean, at this point, if you do it again, you know, are you going to continually start putting him under at Mania, even if it is only one more time? To me, that's kind of really cheapening the whole ooh-ah factor of the fact that he had a streak that long. And B, it's really cheapening, like I said, what happened last year.
It is very hard to disagree with that one, which is why I will not. But we are about out of time, so...
Let me talk a little bit about what I actually called to talk about.
Sounds good to me.
And that is, ladies and gentlemen, the Northern Wrestling Federation is returning to Covington, Kentucky at HITS. We have a special 7:30 p.m. bell time. Doors will open at 6:30. Tickets are available at HITS as well as Disc and Dat in Florence. You're going to see in action Lord Crew as he goes one-on-one with the new Tri-State Champion, Alex Hayden. That title will be on the line. But Wildcat Chris Harris will be barred from the building. There is no concern of the veteran becoming involved to aid Lord Crew. You've got probably one of the strongest competitors to ever step foot into the Northern Wrestling Federation. Legendary Larry D takes on the Unified Champion, Lexus Montez. Title will be on the line. Can the self-proclaimed best of the best, the Prince of Sport, walk out still Unified Champion? And then, will the Northern Wrestling Federation Championship go back to Hollywood? Or will it remain with the Titan as Hollywood Adam Swayze, who will be accompanied by that sleazy, sniveling, whining, used car salesman wannabe Gideon Weinstein? Will Swayze be able to defeat the Titan and walk out NWF champion? Show up at HITS this Saturday, find out. Also, mark your calendars. We will be back at Bone Crushers on April the 14th. And then the big one, folks, we head into Fairfield on April 21st. It will be Thunderdome. 8 men will be locked inside a steel cage to compete for the Northern Wrestling Federation title on that night. And if you've ever wanted to experience what it's like to be a wrestler, manager, referee, ring announcer, check out on April 28th. It is the annual NWF Fantasy Camp. There will be more details on our Facebook page as well as our website at www.nwfwrestling.com. And then May 5th, we return to Wilmington, Ohio at the Clinton County Fairgrounds. You will see Wilmington's own Johnny Swade as he takes on the new stud on the block, the self-proclaimed 22-year-old stud, Jay Donaldson. On that night, the ladies will also be in action. So make sure you join us in Wilmington. But first and foremost, make sure you join us this Saturday night, April the 7th, at HITS in Covington Remember, the doors open at 6:30, bell time 7 p.m. Tickets are available at Hits and Disc and Bat on Turfway Road in Florence. Thank you very much, Ace Diamond, and have a good night.
You too, Miss Callie. Ladies and gentlemen, don't forget to check out those shows. And remember, this weekend –